برائے خوشنودی سید الشہداء صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
It's requested to please recite the Surah Al-Fatiha and three times Surah Al-Ikhlas. The mother of Brother Najm Fairoz Begum, mother of Sister Zahra Shahz Ali Begum, and the father of Sister Zahra Asghar Mehdi Abu. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته، وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أنقذ الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم،
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجة القضاء الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأحدها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه. وقال أمير المؤمنين عليه الصلاة والسلام:
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
الإسلام هو التسليم، والتسليم هو التصديق، والتصديق هو اليقين، واليقين هو الأداء، والأداء هو العمل. إن المؤمن أخذ دينه عن ربه ولم يأخذه عن رأيه صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
محمد وآل بيت محمد صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
الله سبحانه وتعالى has made his policy crystal clear in the Holy Quran when he said, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. Whoever seeks any religion other than Islam, it will never be accepted from him. So, as a human, we don't have the freedom to exercise in choosing the religion if we are serious about our destiny. If somebody is not serious about his destiny, then he can choose whatever he wishes and face the consequences. But if anyone is serious about taking care of his spirituality, he must understand that the only option is to die away from this world as a Muslim. Another verse of Holy Quran has said, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. That means don't die except in the condition of Islam. Islam is the only religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the deen, in Allah, in Islam. Allah has not provided any multiple option policy, any hypocritical approach which can give way for serious humans to get confused about what exactly is the policy of our Lord. So he has mentioned, talking about his religion, as the only religion he has is Islam. And Islam has been best defined in Nahj al-Balagha by Amir al-Mu'mineen, هو إمام المتقين علي بن أبي طالب.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
And when defining Islam, before he defines, he said لأنسبن الإسلام نسبة, which in other words, I am defining Islam with a definition that no one else had ever done this definition before me, and no one else would ever do a definition after me better than this definition. So no one has ever done any definition of Islam ahead of Amir al-Mu'mineen, and no one is going to do, no one can do a definition of Islam, no one can define Islam with a definition better than this, except that if he defines with the same definition. So basically, this is the best definition among all. And that's where he elaborated and said that al-Islam wa al-Taslim. Islam is the essence of submission. In Farsi we say, Ruhiyye haq pasandi. In Urdu we call, Sar taslim kham karne ka jazba. Whenever, wherever, from whomsoever, we encounter Haqq and the Hukm of Allah, our Creator, we are wishfully, voluntarily, not out of force, because if you force simply do something, it is called surrendering. That's not the translation of taslim. Taslim means submitting. There's a whole world of difference between these two. You surrender when you are forced to do so. That's not what Allah is asking us. Allah is asking us to submit ourselves whenever, wherever, from whomsoever we find haqq and truth and righteousness, we voluntarily and wishfully submit without ifs and buts, without strings attached, without conditions, unconditional submission. And Islam about Taslim. Islam is submission to Allah, submission to Haqq, submission to the Hukm of God. And what Taslim of what Tasdeeq, Taslim and submission means certifying Tasdeeq. And what Tasdeeq of what Yaqeen, certifying means Yaqeen and certitude. Well, Yaqeen of what Ada. When we have Yaqeen about something, we will start performing. We won't stay stuck. We will move forward. So Yaqeen is performance. Yaqeen of wal ada. So wal ada of wal amal. And performing is action. So a person who has Yaqeen will have the signs. He will be performing and doing actions in accordance with his Yaqeen. And at the end, Imam Ali al-Islam had said, which I'm paraphrasing these narrations in my words, all these narrations, at the end he says that إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِ أَخَذَ دِينَهُ عَنْ رَبِّهِ. Certainly, a mu'min, a believer, takes his religion from his Lord. وَلَمْ يَأْخُذْهُ عَنْ رَأْيِهِ. He doesn't take his religion from his opinion. So we obviously understand that first of all, that was the best definition of Islam. He didn't define Islam as a Muslim as a person who is born to such and such parents. That's not what Imam Ali said. The real definition of Islam is not this, in the real sense. Salman Farsi was never born to Muslim parents. He was being transferred from 10 different hands, sold 10 times as slave. 10 times, and the 10th time, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ajil.
Had purchased him from a Jew. That was the 10th selling of Salman as a slave. And when a bunch of ashab and companions were sitting and talking about their nasab and lineage and feeling fakhr and pride in their lineage, which is something condemned in Islam, if somebody starts feeling pride over his, over things which are not considered to be a matter of fakhr, then it's condemned. And after talking to each other, everybody introducing himself and his lineage, then they turned to Salman Farsi, who was also present in the gathering, and said, "Why don't you introduce yourself and your lineage to us?" And he replied back that kunto abdan fa أعتقني الله بمحمد. I was a slave and Allah set me free through Muhammad. And كنت عائلا فأغناني الله بمحمد. I was poor. And I had nothing. And Allah made me clean and rich through the Prophet. And kuntu dhallan fa hadani Allah bi Muhammadin sallallahu alaihi
wasallam.
I was misguided, and Allah guided me through the Prophet. And then it is narrated that Salman said, "Ana ibnul Islam." I am the son of Islam. Instead of mentioning about his lineage and expressing his pride over his father and mother and grandfather and whatever, what he cares about is the religion of Islam. And when Prophet heard this response,
That's where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Salman minna ahlal bayt.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil.
Today is no room in Islam for any race or any pride over our ethnicity, our language, our nationality, our race, or our lineage. In Islam, there are three reasons for a person to be considered as superior, and those three reasons are the ilm, and taqwa, and jihad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. So we understand the knowledge is one of those things which makes us superior. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ عَلَى الْقَاعِدِينَ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Allah has given a great reward to mujahideen over the qa'ideen, those who keep on sitting. Those who are sitting, upon them a reward is given to, fazilat is given to those who are doing jihad for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The most honorable among you is the one who has most taqwa, highest taqwa. So ilm and taqwa and jihad, ilm of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, and taqwa means the practice upon that knowledge, and jihad means the efforts that we do on that same knowledge of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. This is what makes us superior. And when we find that in Kitab al-Amali, Shaykh Tusi rahmatullah alayhi has narrated from Mansur ibn Bazraj that Mansur came to Imam Sadiq al-Islam and said, it's a lot we have been listening from you about Salman and Farsi. You know, you have been praising, talking about him so much. So much mention. And Imam Sadiq al-Islam said, don't say Salman Farsi, say Salman Muhammadi. And then he said that the reason of the why he has been mentioned so much by me are three attributes which decorate the personality of Salman. So because of three attributes, Imam Sadiq al-Islam used to mention him so much, talk about him so much. The first, giving preference to the Hawa Amir al-Mu'mineen, to the likenesses of Imam Ali al-Islam, to the wish of Imam Ali, to what Imam Ali wants to like, what he wishes, what he likes, over his personal likeness. You never find Salman Farsi ever giving preference and tarjih to what I feel like doing. My take, my opinion, my understanding is like this. I want to do this in the name of freedom. A lot of open-minded, so-called open-minded people are doing this in the name of freedom. They think they can understand and they can give preference to their take in the presence of the take of Ahlul Bayt. And the second reason which Imam Salih alayhi salam mentioned is Salman being, you know, in other words, giving, Salman used to like the fuqara and give him preference to fuqara over the abniya. Salman used to like the fakir people. That was the constant sunnah, of course. This is not in the hadith I'm saying to you. It's the constant sunnah of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. They always used to hang around with the fuqara and the sakin. I personally, in my life, didn't find anywhere in any hadith when it comes to mujalasa and sitting around and hanging around, what I found up till now, from the seerat, from the hadith, from the teachings of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, they are talking about either mujalasatul ulama or mujalasatul fuqara wal masakin. At least I didn't find anything. If there is some other category which they have mentioned, I don't know. I could not find up till this date that the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt have ever asked the Islamic Ummah to hang around, to sit around with anyone other than these two categories. Either the scholars or the fuqara. So this is what we find is the importance of Salman Farsi. And so we find that anybody who has more taslim in his behavior, the levels of the ashab of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt depended on their level of taslim. The more they were, they had taslim, they had the essence of submission in front of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, the more they got closer to them. The lesser a companion had taslim, the lesser was his position. That's how it goes. That's how it went always. So anybody who had higher taslim was the closer. That was the rule of the thumb. You must have heard the famous story of this person coming to see Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and asking him that you are the Imam of the time, then why don't you do the Qiyam and uprising against the Zalim government of your time? And Imam asked him to drop down, to jump down into the tanur, the fire, the pit of fire. And he started to furnish excuse in front of the Imam, you know, I have a fine family, wife, children, whatever. And of course, if it's left to our opinions, quote unquote, our ra'i. That's what our Urafa have said, that we don't have two kinds of jihad, which are commonly understood. People think that jihad is of two types, jihad al-Askar and jihad al-Akbar, and Askar is fighting with the enemies of Haqq, and jihad al-Akbar is, you know, jihad al-Nafs, fighting against our desires. So our Urafa have actually classified jihad into three types. And jihad al Asghar, wal jihad al awsat, wal jihad al akbar. And jihad al asghar is the jihad which is against the enemies of Haqq in the battlefield. It is the least jihad for an Islam. And jihad al awsat, the middle level of jihad, is fighting against the nafs and desires that we have. And jihad al-akbar, the biggest jihad, is not actually in the real sense that you have a panoramic view of all the teachings of the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. The real biggest jihad is not fighting against desires. That is the middle level of jihad. The real biggest jihad is jihad al-aql wal-ishq. And Islam is asking its followers, and whenever the aql and the ishq towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala collide, we have to give preference to the ishq, which means the deep love, over the aql. And if we can manage doing this, then we have done the greatest level of jihad. So aql dictates taqiyya when your life is under threat.
Yes.
Whereas ishq dictates to you to forget about yourself and focus on Allah. Isn't that right? And in this case that we were talking about, this woman came to see Imam Sadiq al-Islam and Imam commanded him to drop down into the pit of fire. Of course, the aql was of every human will dictate to do taqiyya and protect your life and not to make yourself fall down into the fire. So he acted according to his aql. It is intellectual not to drop yourself into the fire. It is not unintellectual. It is sane. It is not insane. But why the objection against him? The objection against him is due because of the fact that he ignored his duty of the ishq towards the walayat of Ahlul Bayt, which dictates to ignore your aql and allow your aql to accommodate and submit without ifs and buts to the superior aql of a ma'soom, which understands and comprehends things that are unthinkable and unreachable for our intellect. That's where the jihad comes in. Which is another long discussion, that's not the subject of my speech. Maybe we can talk about jihad, the differences and the dictates of aql and dictates of ishq, and what are the differences, how to do the jihad between ifl. Maybe we can talk about some other time, inshallah. So basically, what I was saying to you is that whomsoever companion got closer to the Prophet, it was not because of his prayers and fasting, everybody was praying behind him. Even, an elderly person, a blind person, complained to the Holy Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, I'm blind. I couldn't show up in the Jamaat. And Prophet said to him, tie up a rope up till, basically, that means from his place till the masjid. So you just basically grab the rope and he can come to the Jamaat prayers. So even the blind people never miss the prayers. Who had nobody to take care of them, they also attended the prayers. So it's not with the Jamaat of the prayers or the fasting that we can distinguish which companion of the Prophet and of the bed were the closer and closest. It was through the sleep. So this guy didn't fall down in the fire pit. And when that man from Khorasan, which the narration didn't mention his name, a man from Khorasan came and Imam asked him to drop into the pit of fire. He didn't ask another question. And he dropped straight into the pit of fire. And this guy who was furnishing ta'wil and tawjih and left and right, furnished the excuse to the Imam and didn't obey, was busy eating food with the Imam. And after a while he was getting more and more and more anxious, what is going on with that guy who dropped down into the pit of fire? He must be burned, he must have been burned by now. And after a while, when he stood up and he saw into that ditch, he found the person is sitting relaxed and comfortable, and the fire had done nothing against him. So what these people are missing out is the essence of taslim towards the Ahlul Bayt. Remember what the Holy Prophet had already said to us, that خُذْ مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا صَفَى. Choose a religion which is pure. Just like, Imam Khomeini Rizwan Ba'alayh used to say that our Islam is the pure Muhammadan Islam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad rajil farajum.
Nothing added into it, nothing taken out of it. In its pure form, khalis. So, khudh min ad-deen ma safa. Yeah, there are people who are following impure religion and impure teachings, although they may be thinking to themselves that they are well off, there's nothing wrong with them, they are fine, they're doing what they're supposed to do. That's the nature of the nafs, which always has tasweel. Bal sawwalat lakum anfusakum. This is the job of the nafs. Would you do istikhara for, shall I pray my fajr prayers tomorrow or not? Do we do istikhara for the wajibat of Islam? Do we do istikhara for muharramat of Islam? Istikhara, first of all, to begin with, is never done about wajibat and muharramat and mustahabbat and makruhat. Istikhara is done about mubahat, when we have been given the freedom to choose. That's where we seek mashwarat and ra'i and opinion from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. About things that Allah has already told me and you, Salatul Layl is mustahab. You don't need to do no further istikhara from Allah, shall I pray Salatul Layl tonight or not? Allah has already told through His beloved Prophet that Salatul Layl is mustahab bil mu'akkad. Why to ask for the second time? So, this is the lack. I mean, those were also scholars who were seeing istikhara. They were not juhal, they were not jahil. They were also praying and fasting and hajj and zakat, and all these things are there, generally speaking. The lack of understanding of the pure value system of the Quran and Ahlul Bayt is missing in some people. Khuz min ad-deen ma safa. Look at what the Holy Prophet has, a panoramic view over the whole universe, because everything is created in front of him. You know? Before 14,000 years before the creation of Prophet Adam alayhi salam. So somebody who has seen the creation of the whole universe in front of him, and he knows the universe inside out, and it's custom created to be subservient to him. لَوْلَاكَ لَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْأَخْلَاقِ. If you were not there, I would not have created the aflaq. So everything is His musakhar and subservient and submissive and under His al-walayatu taqwiniyya, absolute governance and rule and totally obedient, except some of the humans and jinns who did the misaq in alam al-zar and later on denied out of their arrogance. So what I am saying is that the Holy Prophet, when he says, it carries a lot of weight. خُذْ مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا صَفَى. Choose a religion which is pure. And it's narrated in the history that the Holy Prophet draw two lines in front of him, one on the right and one on the left, and said, الْيَمِينُ وَالشِّمَالُ مَظَلَّ. And then he drew another line, the narration says, in straight line in front of him, and said that, this is my path, you know. This straight line, this Sirat al-Mustaqeem, this is his path. Don't go towards the left and right, which are the path of misguidance. Al-Yameen wa-Shimal Matallatun wa-Tariq al-Wusta hiya al-Jadda. In the Hadith it says, right and left are the misguiding ways, and the middle path is my path. That's the way. Hiyal Jadda, according to my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafidhahullah, he says that it's not like that somebody can say Sirat al-Mustaqeem is this straight path and the other paths are also the paths. No. Others are not the paths. There's only one path. Everything else is not called a path. Un rahni sun bi rahayast. Something like a ditch. You don't call a ditchy way to be a path. There's only one path. There's only one way in Islam. There's no room for pluralism in Islam. You know, everybody's okay. This is also okay. No, this is also okay. He's also okay, he's also not bad, he's also good, no, he's also worshipping Allah. Everybody's okay, don't talk back against anyone. No, there's nothing like that in the dictionary of the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. Whether we like it or not, that's the way it is. There's only one straight path and that is correct. الطريق الوسطى هي الجادة. And then the Holy Prophet said that the nation of my brother Musa got divided into 71. All of them are halik, devastated, except one. Nation of my brother Isa got divided into 72. All of them are halik, that means devastated, except one. وستفترق أمتي على ثلاث وسبعين فرقة الناجي منهم واحد والباقي هالك. And soon my nation is going to be divided into 73. All of them are devastated except one. This is one of the most authentic ahadith narrated by different sects of Islam. Except that everyone says the one who is the Naji and successful sect is us. We are the ones. But the hadith is authentic. I mean, there is no one who denies the authenticity of the hadith. So the hadith is for sure there that the Prophet said that soon my nation will be divided into 73. And Naji minhum wahid, the one who is going to get the salvation, the one who will be saved, is one among them, while Baqi and the rest, Halik, they are devastated, they are destroyed. So it's clear from the hadith of Rasulullah that there is no room for pluralism in Islam. He did not say, سَتَفْتَرِقُ أُمَّتِيَ لَا سَلَاسٍ وَسَبْعِينَ فِرْقَةً وَكُلُّهُمْ نَاجُونَ. No. And all of them will be saved. No. So, and then the hadith says that Imam Ali al-Salam was present in the gathering, and he said to Rasulullah, and he asked from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad,
that which is the Naji, which is the sect, which is the one which will be saved among them. And that's where the Holy Prophet replied that Anta wa shi'atuka humul fa'izun, Anta wa shi'atuka humul muflihun. Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajli farajum.
Shi'a in Arabic means, this is derived from the word Shi'a is from following the footsteps of somebody. If somebody is walking ahead of you and you put your feet on the marks of his feet, wherever he has put his feet, you put your feet on the marks of his feet and you follow him perfectly. This is called shayyatuhu. We say tashyi'ul janaza because we follow the janaza. So shi'a in Arabic, Fusha, Fasih language, a local language, this means the person who is perfectly obedient. So a Shia is a Shia who is obedient to Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam. Anybody who is obedient towards the walayat of Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam is a Shia. And when, doesn't matter if somebody is not obedient, doesn't matter who he may be, Zayd al-Nar was the brother of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, isn't that right?
No.
Zayd al-Nar who claimed the imamate.
Yes.
And when Zayd al-Nar, once he embraced the imam, and he said salam to Imam Ridha alayhi salam, and Imam Ridha alayhi salam did not reply back to his salam. And Zayd al-Nar is the brother of Imam Ridha alayhi salam. And he said that, I'm your brother and you're not replying back to my salam. And Imam Ridha alayhi salam replied, Anta akhi ma ata'ta Allah. You are my brother as long as you obey Allah. Fa'idha anta asayta Allah, fala ikha'a bayni wa baynak. When you disobey Allah, there is no brotherhood between me and you. So it doesn't matter who the person may be. He may be the real brother of the Mahsoom. Who cares? cares in the world? Even it may be the real brother of the masoom. So it's very important, brothers and sisters, to be particular when it comes to the walayat. There's a zero tolerance law of Allah. We like it or not, we believe it or not, is irrelevant. The teachings of Islam are not left up to the mercy of us accepting it or not accepting it. It's not going to bend to the ignorance of the ignorance. So on the Day of Judgment, we will be invited by our Imams. يَوْمَ نَدْعُوا كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ. The choice is ours. Whomsoever we consider to be our Imam, we will be invited with that Imam. Whomsoever, good or bad, Imam al-Haq or Imam al-Batil, Imam al-Iman or Imam al-Kufr, wal-Zalal, Imam, whatever type of Imam you choose, that's your personal freedom. But make sure that you will be invited with that Imam on the Day of Judgment. And it's also worth noting that the Imams will be doing bara'at and disassociating themselves from their ma'mumeen on the Day of Judgment if the Imam was a zalim. Because Quran has said, is tabarra alladhina tubi'u min alladhina taba'u. Those people who are being followed by the people, those Imams will be doing tabarri, disassociating themselves from their followers. Now on the Day of Judgment they realize all the curtains and hijabat are now removed from the qalb and they see the haqa'iq of the alam al-jabarut, and now they know their destiny we are heading to, and every person whom they misled in their life is accompanying them and is going to increase their adab further. Every follower, you're talking about further and further adab piling up upon the leader who misled them. And now when they find, hey, the whole bunch of people are following me, so they are going to increase my adab in Jahannam. So of course they would disassociate and say, we have nothing to do with you, you know. You did what you did, you're on your own. So don't blame it on us. Whereas the followers of Haqq will be the one who are surrounded by Anwar and Mu'min yataqallab fi khamsatin min an-nur. There are five noors which will be with the Mu'min on the Day of Judgment. So Muhammad ibn Muslim has narrated that story that from Ibn Abi Uyayna, that this guy came from Syria all the way to meet Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam in Medina. And said to the Imam that my father, he used to hate the Ahlul Bayt, whereas I am your lover. I love Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And he left a lot of money. I don't know where he left. 150,000 dinars. The huge money, 150,000 gold coins. Huge money, not just in that in those days, but even today. So I don't know where he left the money. He hid it from me because of the fact that I love you, Ahlul Bayt. Imam Baqir alayhi salam said to him, you want to see your father? He said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, sure, I want to see him. He said, go to the graveyard of Baqi and say, Ya Varjan. He did the same. He went to the graveyard of Baqi and he called Ya Varjan. Must be the name of one of those malaika who is muwakkal there. And the person came to him, what do you want? And he gave him the letter of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. You know, not the letter, but the message, I mean. And that he has asked me to show me my dad. And this angel, this person replied, Marhaban bika wa man jatta min indihi. You know, welcome to you and to the person from whose behalf you came. And then he asked him to wait there for a while. Then after a while he brought a person who was totally dark. And the smoke of the hellfire was coming out from his body. This son couldn't even recognize his father. He said, "Are you my dad?" His shape, his form was changed, his color was changed. So he said, "Yeah, I'm your dad." He said, "What caused you to reach this state?" He said, "The love of Banu Umayya." And that's where he finds that he has and of course the fact that he had considered Banu Umayya to be superior than that of Baitul Masalat was salam. So then he told him that I have hid my money to in such and such place. You go back and find it out and give 50,000 dinars to Umar Baqir alayhi salam, and 100,000 belongs to you. So he find this guy, and the next day he showed up at the house of Imam Baqir alayhi salam again, and the Ravi, the narrator, says, "I was already present at the door of Imam Baqir alayhi salam because I was expecting him to come the next morning to give him to give the update what happened with him. So I was curious to learn what happened with him in the graveyard of Baqi. So I was already present at the door of Imam Baqir alayhi salam, and I found when this guy came to see the Imam, when Imam alayhi salam showed up, he fell down. He said to the Imam that Allahu a'lamu haythu yaj'al risalatahu. Allah knows where to put his risala." So we find, and he said, "You know, I was always being muhib, a lover for you Ahlul Bayt, but now your love and muhabbat has become special in my eyes." Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So when we choose our leaders, we have to be very careful, because we are choosing for a lifetime, which means eternity and infinity. It's not a temporary decision. I already said to you, there's a zero tolerance law of Allah when it comes to walayat and governance. And then the Holy Prophet has said, وَمِنْ الْعَيْشِ مَا كَفَى. Choose a lifestyle which is sufficient. Nothing more than, that means nothing more than our necessities of life. Anything that we gather more than our necessities of life is problematic. Maluka ma qaddamta. Hadith of Amir Mawli alayhi salam says, your wealth is what you send forth. That's the wealth that we own, actually. If I give 200 bucks to a poor person, to a yatim, to an orphan, to a widow who deserves it, that's my savings, that's my asset of life. Not the 401k which I'm gathering. That's my real saving, is what I sent forth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maluka ma qaddamta wa malu warithika ma akharta. And it's the mal of your waris and inheritor is the one who that you left behind. In another hadith says, you know, when a person dies, qala an-nasu ma taraka. People say, what did he leave behind? وَقَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ مَا قَدَّمَا. Whereas the angels say, what did he send forth? Look at the difference of perspective of one creature made from nur and other creature made from soil. And look at the difference of perspectives of these two creatures. The one creature who is made from nur is asking the positive question at the death of a person. What did he send forth? And the one who is made of soil is asking the negative question. What did he left behind? Who cares what he left behind? So what? Whatever he left behind is not going to benefit him. Even if the children do something good, that they're going to get the sawab, not the deceased person. Because the maal does not belong to the deceased person any longer. He's not the owner, fiqhiyan and shar'an. So It's wise, brothers and sisters, that we do the good deeds in our own life instead of expecting our children to come forward and do good for us, which is also very good for the children, but from our perspective, we are not supposed to wait and attach our hopes with our children. We are supposed to do the good deeds for ourselves on our own. You know, إِذَا مَاتَ ابْنُ آدَمَ إِنْ قَطَعَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا عَنْ ثَلَاثٍ صَدَقَةٌ عِلْمٌ يُنْتَفَعُ بِهِ أَوْ صَدَقَةٌ جَارِيَةٌ أَوْ وَلَدٌ صَالِحٌ يَدْعُو لَهُ بِالْخَيْرِ. If a person passes away, the book of deeds stops, except out of three things. The one is a knowledge with which people benefit. You write down one hadith on the piece of paper. This paper is, in the light of the hadith, we understand that this paper is going to be a shield between you and the hellfire. On the day of judgment, this paper will be present and shielding off the flames of hellfire away from you, because you wrote down a piece of noor on this. And the noor and naar can never get combined. So, it's a matter of whatever service you do for the knowledge of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, any service, عِلْمٌ يُنْتَفَعُ بِهِ, from which the people benefit. You passed away, but the benefit continues. Shaykh Abu Ja'far al-Tusi, Rahmatullah alayhi, who is the founder of the House of Najaf, when his book, when his library and books were burnt by the enemies of Islam, and we find Sheikh Tusi had a great task to do. And now he used to live in a room which was next to the Haram of Amir al-Mu'mineen al-Islam in Najaf. And let's remember, we are talking about 1100 years ago, approximately. 1100 years ago, there was no haram built for Imam Ali al-Islam. It was just a tiny room over his grave. And next to the grave of Imam Ali was the room where Sheikh Tusi was staying. And he stayed there for a long time, doing the services, writing books, writing the knowledge, saving the knowledge of Quran and Ahlul Bayt for the later generations after his library was burnt. For a long time he had to stay and do the services. And when somebody came and asked him about the ziyarat of Imam Ali al-Islam, he said, "I didn't go for the ziyarat of Imam Ali al-Islam." He said, "You are such a big marji of taqleed. You didn't go for the ziyarat of Imam Ali al-Islam next door?" He said, "What I am doing right now, Imam Ali is pleased with me, but with what I am doing. This is more important than doing the ziyarat of Imam Ali." Ilmun yuntafa'u bihi. So now we call him a person who has basically renewed the Islam's survival. It's because of Sheikh Tusi. We call him Sheikh al-Ta'ifa. That's the laqab which is given to Sheikh Tusi. The leader of the whole Shia faith. Sheikh al-Ta'ifa is the laqab. He deserves to get that title. إِذَا مَاتَ ابْنُ آدَمَ إِذَا مَاتَ الْإِنسَانِ إِنْقَطَعَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا عَنْ ثَلَاثٍ. So either you do some, leave behind some knowledge of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, or you do some sadaqatun jariya, any type of sadaqah, which people benefit from it. Even if you plant a tree. All the Islamic movements in the whole world are also the sadaqatun jariya of Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah alayhi. Everybody who is practicing Islam and doing bara'at from the ta'uts, Imam Khomeini is getting the thawab for that. Sadaqatun jariya is not just constructing a madrasa or a masjid or a hospital or whatever. So the sadaqatun jariya can be anything from which people benefit and the Islam becomes, you know, alive. Of course, visiting the graves of the parents is very important by the children, but we should not rely on our children, you know. It's there in the narration, in the history, that a person used to visit the grave of his father regularly. It's in the hadith of Rasulullah, "Man zara qabra abawayhi yawm al-jumu'ah aw ahadahuma kutiba lahu hajjatan mabrura." Somebody who visits the grave of his parents on the day of Friday, or one of them, one Hajj is written for him. If you just go and visit the grave of your father, you get the sawab of one Hajj. So one guy used to constantly visit the grave of his father. One day he didn't visit, he just passed by the grave of his father, he didn't visit. And he saw his father in the dream, saying that أَمَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّ الْمُجَاوَزَ بِقَبْرِ الْأَبِ بِلَا زِيَارَةٍ لَهُ عُقُوقٌ. Haven't you learned that crossing by the grave of your father without visiting him is equal to becoming aq and disassociated from your father? We do become aq even after the death. It's not just as a ruling related to our lifetime if we disobey our parents. The huquq of the parents actually never end. Even after the death, those huquq continue. And وَمِنَ الْإِخْوَانِ مَا وَفَى. That means choose those of the friends which are wafi, which are faithful towards you. The real faith, brothers and sisters, is taqwa. If I can help my friend to achieve and to advance and excel in taqwa, and your friend can help you in achieving and acquiring and maintaining and protecting and advancing in taqwa, that's the real friendship. And the friendship is based on iman and taqwa in Islam. Prophet did the mu'akhat, established the brotherhood between muhajireen and ansar, the migrants and the helpers of Medina. And finally, when everybody was made a brother to somebody else, and Imam Ali al-Islam was left alone, and he said to the Prophet, "You didn't make me a brother." And Prophet said, I have kept you for myself. And what actually he said was, أَمَا تَرْضَىٰ أَن تَكُونَ مِنِّي بِمَنْزِلَةِ هَارُونَ مِنْ مُوسَىٰ إِلَّا أَنَّهُ لَا نَبِيَّ بَعْدِي. Are you not pleased that you are towards me like Harun was towards Musa, except that there is no Prophet after me, and no one has the right to claim being the brother of Rasulullah other than Imam Ali alayhi salam, and anybody who claims to be the brother is a kazab and liar. This is one of the most concrete barahin and evidences about the fadilat of Imam Ali alayhi salam, because he was the only person called to be brother by Rasulullah. وَدَعِ الظُّلْمَ وَالْجَفَاءَ. I'm coming to the end of my speech. وَدَعِ الظُّلْمَ وَالْجَفَاءَ. And leave the zulm and jafa. Every type of zulm has to be, you know, we need to distance ourselves and leave and not to do any type of zulm. A zalim person doesn't die away from this world unless and until he gets the zulm done against him as well. A zalim person must understand that in أَعْجَلَ الْعُقُوبَةِ, the hadith says the fastest of the punishments, عُقُوبَةُ الْبَغْيِ, is the punishment of zulm. If you do zulm towards somebody, you may think you can run away, but the fastest punishments coming from Allah for any sin is that for the zulm. So we are going to face it. Whether we discover why are we facing it or not, that's another story, whether we discover that or not, why it is happening to me, but we always get the punishment. وَكَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْضَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا. Allah always bring one zalim over the other. The bigger zalim is kept alive unless and until he takes the revenge of Allah from the lesser zalim. And the bigger zalim is also kept alive unless he takes revenge from that lesser zalim. He has his divine wisdom running the universe, but no zalim can be spared, and even in the life of this world. And anybody who is doing the slightest of the zulm is going to face the aftermath of his actions. So that's where our responsibility is, that we don't get bedazzled by the glitter of this world and the glamour of this world, you know. And I remember in the story of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, when Abdul Malik ibn Marwan la'natullahi alayh was doing the tawaf of Kaaba, and he found Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was also there not paying attention to him, and he asked his people to bring him to him. And that's where Abdul Malik ibn Marwan said to Imam Sajjad alayhi salam that lastu qatila abika, I'm not the killer of your father, why are you behaving like this towards me? I was not the one who killed your father. And Imam Sajjad alayhi salam replied, inna qatila abi afsada bima fa'alahu dunyahu alayh, the killer of my father, what he did, he destroyed the dunya of my father. Wa afsada abi bidhalika akhiratahu, and my dad destroyed his akhirat. The killer of Imam Hussein, destroyed the dunya of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Whereas Imam Hussein alayhi salam destroyed his akhirat. And then Imam Sajjad alayhi salam said, فَإِنْ أَرَدْتَ فَإِنْ أَحْبَبْتَ أَنْ تَكُونَكَ هُوَ فَكُنْ, if you want to be like, if you love to be like him, be. Look at the istighna. Shana bin Yazi. For Imam Sajjad alayhi salam doesn't care about the Tawud, the ruler. Hisham Abdul Malik ibn Marwan is a ruler. In Ahbabta and Takuna Kahua Fakuni, you want to also love to be like him, be. That means who cares? And so he said, no, I don't want to be like him. But he said that ولكن سر إلينا لتنال من دنيانا, why don't you come over, you know, pay a visit to us so that at least you can get some share of the dunya that we have. And now look at the behavior of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. فَجَلَسَ زَيْدُ الْعَبِدِينَ وَبَسَطَ رِدَاءَهُ, Imam alayhi salam sat down and he spread his rida. And then he prayed to Allah, وَقَالَ اللَّهُمَّ أَرِهِ حُرْمَةَ أَوْلِيَائِكَ عِنْدَكَ, O my Lord, show him the respect of your beloved personalities in your eyes. فَإِذَا, and as soon as Imam alayhi salam prayed with this dua, his aba, his rida was full of dews. مَمْلُوَةٌ دُرَرًا يَكَادُ شُعَاعُهَا يَخْطِفُ الْأَبْصَارِ, shining pearls, and which were so shining that you basically you can't look at towards them. And then Imam alayhi salam addressed him by saying, مَنْ يَكُونُ هَذَا حُرْمَتُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ يَحْتَاجُ لَا دُنْيَاكَ, somebody who has this sort of respect in the eyes of Allah, he stands in need of your dunya? And then Imam said to him, اللهم خذها فلا حاجة لي إليها, oh my Lord, take it back because I don't stand in need of this. Because they stick not to the dunya. They never demanded dunya from Allah. They never even looked towards this dunya. Dunya and akhirat both were presented to Rasulullah. But he didn't even pay attention to none of those two. Because he was the one who said, "Ad-dunya haramun ala ahli al-akhirah." Dunya is haram on those who belong to akhirat. Wal-akhiratu haramun ala ahli al-dunya. And akhirat is haram on those who belong to dunya. Wahuma haramane ala ahli Allah. And both of them are haram on those who belong to Allah. Allah belongs to Allah. He doesn't care about neither dunya nor akhirat. Because he was Ahlul Ishq. He had the love of Allah in his qalb. He was drowned in the love of Allah, in the deep love of Allah. Didn't he say, you know, at the time of Adhan, saying to Bilal, instead of saying to Bilal, that, oh Bilal, say the Adhan. What did the Prophet say to Bilal? Arihna ya Bilal. Comfort us, oh Bilal. Instead of saying to Bilal at the time of Adhan, oh Bilal, say Adhan. What did the Prophet said? Prophet said to Bilal, comfort us, oh Bilal. What's the meaning of the word comfort us? Our Urafa say that when Bilal is going to say the Adhan, Allah will be mentioned.
Yes.
And the zikr of Allah used to comfort Rasulullah. This is the ishq of Rasulullah. This is the ma'rifat of Rasulullah. That by the mention of Allah, Prophet used to get comfort. And the same Rasulullah had said, "Man arada an yanzura ila ahabb ahli al-ard was-sama' falyanzur ila al-Husayn." Whoever wants to look at the most beloved person among the people of heavens and among the people of earth, he should look towards Husayn. So Imam Husayn alayhi salam is the most beloved according to the nas of Rasulullah, the clear dalil from Rasulullah, the most beloved person of heavens and earth. You can't find anybody more beloved. Imam Husayn is the most beloved person. He has to be most beloved. Because he gave everything that he had for Allah. He didn't spare nothing for himself. Didn't he say in the day of Ashura, "Ilahi taraktul khalqa turran fi hawaka." Oh my Lord, I left the whole creation for the sake of your love. إِلَهِ تَرَكْتُ خَلْقَ طُرًّا فِي هَوَاكَ وَأَيْتَمْتُ الْعِيَالَ لِكَيْ أَرَاكَ. And I made my children orphans so that I can see you. Look at the ishq of Imam Husayn. وَلَوْ قَطَعْتَنِي فِي الْحُبِّ إِبًا. If you cut me in your love into pieces, مَا حَنَّ الْفُؤَادُ إِلَى سِوَاكَ. The heart will not be inclined towards anyone other than you. This is Imam Husayn. And same is Hazrat Zainab. When Hazrat Zainab comes to the janaza of Imam Husayn alayhi salam, look at what she says. Allahumma taqabbal minna hadha al-qurban. Oh my Lord, accept from us this sacrifice. Even Hazrat Zainab is the one who is playing the role of Imam Husayn after the shahadat of my Mawla, my Maghloob Imam. Hazrat Zainab is playing the role of Imam Husayn, gathering all the children, going from one khayma, one tent to the other, to protecting Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, protecting the children of Imam Husayn. Hazrat Fatima bint Husayn says that one shaqi was following me with a spear, and he poked the spear into my back to take away the chadar, and I fell down unconscious. And after that, when I woke up, I found that my head was in the lap of my aunt Hazrat Zainab. That's when she woke up unconscious, when she became conscious, and she found her head is in the lap of Hazrat Zainab. And now when she woke up and he found Hazrat Zainab, the first question she asked Hazrat Zainab, her aunt, is that, "Where's my hijab?" And we find Hazrat Zainab replied back, "Ammatuki misluki." That means your aunt is similar to you. She also doesn't have the hijab. Hazrat Zainab is gathering, taking care of all the members and all the ladies and children, and Imam Sajjad, and Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, everybody. She's the one who is actually protecting the imamat of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. And we find that Sakina was not visible. She couldn't find Sakina. She went towards the maktal to find Sakina. Sakina is the one, the most beloved daughter of Imam Husayn. How can Hazrat Zainab tolerate that? She went towards the maktal to find, you know, but she couldn't see. And then later on she found that this Sakina is lying over the chest, over the chest of a janaza without the head. And when Hazrat Zainab grabbed her and asked her the question,
How come you discovered this is the janaza of your father? And she said, I was saying father and going towards the maqtal. In other words, and this from this janaza, the voice came, ilayya ya bunayya. Come to me, my daughter. So I understood this is the janaza of my dad, because Sakina used to sleep over the chest of her dad. How Hazrat Zainab is. And you remember when Hazrat Zainab was departing from Medina? And this Ravi narrates that look at the respect, how Hazrat Zainab was helped and assisted to ride the camel. Everybody, Imam Hussain was sitting outside and he was sitting on a chair. And Imam Hussain stood up in the ihtiram of Hazrat Zainab. Abul Fadl Abbas came forward, Ali Akbar came forward. Everybody is helping Hazrat Zainab to ride the camel. And we find a time came when Hazrat Zainab was the one who assisted Imam Hussain, who is departing for the final farewell. Nobody was there to assist Imam Hussain except Hazrat Zainab. And also the time came on the 11th of Muharram when the whole caravan is leaving towards Kufa. And Hazrat Zainab is the one who is assisting everyone to ride. And now when the turn came for herself, she's the one who assisted Imam Sajjad to ride. Everybody, and like now, when the turn came towards herself, now she's looking towards the height of the camel. And how weak she is. How can she ride the camel? And the riwayat says, she did not turn to anybody else. At that occasion, she did not ask Imam Hussain to come for help. She did not ask Ali Akbar to come for help. She did not ask Aun and Muhammad, her sons, to come for help. Instead, she turned towards Abu Fadl al-Abbas. Remember how Abu Fadl al-Abbas helped her? At the time she was leaving her hometown of Medina, she called her brother Abul Fadl Abbas for helping her. And now we find when this caravan is arriving in Medina, and Bashir has been sent by Imam Sajjad to inform the people of Medina about their arrival. Bashir came, you know, and announced, Ya Ahla Yathrib la muqama lakum biha. You know, he announces to the people of Medina, this is not no longer a place for your living, O the people of Medina, in other words. And some of the narration says that Hazrat Kulsoom has also said a sha'r, and she said, you know, that Medina to Jaddina la taqbalina. فَبِلْ أَحْزَانِ وَالْحَسَرَاتِ جِئْنَا خَرَجْنَا مِنْكِ بِالْأَهْلِينَ جَمْعًا رَجَعْنَا لَا رِجَالَ وَلَا بَنِينَ. That means, oh, the city of my grandfather, don't accept us. We are coming with hasarat, with those unfinished wishes and the sorrows. خَرَجْنَا مِنْكِ بِالْأَهْلِينَ جَمْعًا. When we get out of you, that means when we left Medina, you know, بِالْأَهْلِ, we had the whole family with us. رَجَعْنَا لَا رَجَعْنَا وَلَا بَنِينَ. Now that we are coming, when we came back, there are no men remaining, no children remaining. That means everybody became shaheed. We are coming alone to you. We find when Bashir came and informed the news, Ummul Baneen alayhi salam also came to inquire, and Bashir ibn Jazlam told to Ummul Baneen, your children were also killed. Hazrat Ummul Baneen had four sons becoming shaheed. It's not an ordinary sacrifice, brothers and sisters, to send four sons of yours and a daughter. And we find Bashir is gradually, you know, when you inform the news of shahadat or of death to somebody, you inform it gradually. Bashir is gradually informing the news of shahadat of her children to her. And she said to Bashir, قَدْ قَطَعْتَ نِيَاتَ قَلْبِي. You have cut off the vein of mine. And she said, what did I do wrong? You know, she says, you didn't inform me about the real news. What happened to my son Hussein? And Bashir says, Hussein was also, he also became shaheed. And Hazrat Ummul Baneen turned towards Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. You were proud over the shaja'at of Abul Fadl Abbas, in other words. Bhai Hussein is killed. But she said, please don't say that. Because as long as Abul Fadl Abbas was alive, he didn't allow anything to happen to Imam Hussein. So this is Abul Fadl Abbas. And we find Hazrat Zainab, when she came into the house, of course, Abdullah ibn Ja'far, his her own husband, did not recognize Hazrat Zainab. Of course, how can Abdullah recognize Hazrat Zainab? When Hazrat Zainab came out, and she was not like that weak, she was not having that white and grey hair. But now when Hazrat Zainab came, her husband failed to recognize her. Imam Sajjad cried over his father for 40 years. Whenever water was brought in front of Imam Sajjad, whenever the water was brought in front of Imam Sajjad, قَدْ قُتِلَ أَبِي عَتْشَانَا قَدْ قُتِلَ أَبِي جَائِعَا. My father was killed, they are thirsty. My father, قَدْ قُتِلَ إِبْنُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ جَائِعَا. You know, that's Mamun Rivaya. You know, so the son of Rasulullah was killed hungry. The son of Rasulullah was killed thirsty. This is a Mamun Rivaya. And we find that once Imam Sajjad al Islam sometimes used to go out and he found at the shop of a Qassab, you know, slaughtering an animal. And he used to ask him, did you provide water to the animal before the slaughter? And he replied to Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, Yabna Rasulullah, we are Muslims. Islam has stressed so much, you have to provide water to the animal before you slaughter. And that's where Imam Sajjad used to say, talking about his father, that he was slaughtered thirsty. And when one of the Ashab came to Imam Sajjad alayhi salam and said, that, you know, Shahadat is your miras, this is your inheritance, so how long you are going to continue crying on that? This Shahadat is your inheritance. Imam replied, that, you know, one of the sons of Hazrat Yaqub, one of the sons disappeared from his eyes. Of course he did not, you know, in other words, he didn't die. He just disappeared from the eyes, from Hazrat Yaqub. And he cried so much. He cried so much that his eyes became almost blind, you know. In other words, we find, and somebody who has seen 18 Bani Hashim can become a shaheed in front of his eyes. Why doesn't Imam Sajjad cry for them? In other words, we find that he replied back to Imam Sajjad, you know, that Shahadat is your miras. And Imam says, but the ladies taken from the, you know, in the bazaar, in other words, taken in front of the non-mahram people without the hijab is not our miras. You know, and somebody asked Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, which was the hardest moments that you encountered? And he said, Asham, Asham, Asham. Of course, that was the place. The bazaar was decorated. And those non-mahram people were standing there to look at the ladies of the haram of Rasulullah without their hijab. And there was, of course, the announcer. We learn in the history all these things, that the announcer was announcing, Hadihi Sabaya min Banate Rasulullah. These are the captives, the daughters of Rasulullah. Mm-hmm.